Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. Stay ahead of all the big games in the best league in the world, the Premier League. With the latest odds, form guides, expert opinions and more, the fans are the players at Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com, 18 plus, begambleaware.org, T's and C's apply.
Lost it. The ball scrambled over the line by Roberto Firmino. Liverpool have doubled their lead. Another horrible, scrappy goal in which Form didn't cover himself with glory.
Great move from Hazard. He beats Bennett. Here's Eden Hazard. That's a brilliant goal from Eden Hazard.
Fellaini with a header towards Smalling, who turns and fires it home. It's an excellent goal.
Oh, he had no right to be able to wrap his foot around that. And he's played it back for Jimenez, who with a kind little kiss off the inside of the post,
Aubameyang into the box to Arnautovic! That's a beautifully crafted goal by West Ham United! And they are 3-1 up with an hour played. Arnautovic gets his third goal of the season.
It's the Premier League preview show for week 6 of the 18-19 season. I'm Tom Rennie, and coming up on the show, Chelsea's toughest test so far, a trip to rejuvenated West Ham just days after their Europa League game. Tottenham hoping to avoid 4 straight defeats. I hope stating that fact isn't disrespectful. And we've got one eye on Liverpool, which is the same amount as Roberto Firmino. And it doesn't seem to have affected him, so we should be okay. Let's say hello to our panel for the day. We start as ever with my chief sidekick. I like to think of him as.
Sidekick, eh?
I like it, yeah. We're like a Batman and Robin kind of thing. Maybe you're more of a Nightwing, a kind of cooler modern Robin. I don't know. Anyway, it's TalkSport's football editor, David Walker. You okay?
Yeah, very good, very good.
You okay after Watford's loss last week? They played well, though, didn't they? They were good.
It's all good.
You're happy?
4 wins from 5.
Water off a duck's back. Only 6 wins now until safety. I like that attitude. Dave with us as ever. For the second time this season, we are joined as well on the show by the former Chelsea, Leeds and Stoke defender, Michael Dewberry. How are you, mate?
I'm good, very good.
You've come tracksuited. I like that. Are you fresh from the training pitch or are you just a tracksuit kind of guy?
Just a tracksuit type of guy.
Okay, yeah, I like it. It's good. I won't question you. You're a very scary man. Also with us for the first time this season, also in a tracksuit, I feel as if we've overdressed for the show. I know we haven't got a policy specifically, but, you know, suits and ties will be better. Kev Watson is here, former Tottenham, former Reading midfielder. How are you, mate? You all right?
I'm very well, thank you, yes.
Lovely tracksuit. Is your team Hungerford these days?
It's a freebie, yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
I thought I'd wear it.
As long as you don't pay, you can wear what you want. I like that policy. Right, let's start the show with the big game of the weekend. Actually, I should say, if you're listening to the programme on a radio station, as many of you are, you can download an extended podcast version of this programme. Search for TalkSport Premier League Preview Show on Acast, iTunes, any other good podcast provider. Right, let's get to our first game of this show, the big game of the weekend, West Ham against Chelsea, 1:30 UK time on Sunday. Chelsea looking to win their opening 6 games to a Premier League campaign for the third time. The other 2 times they did it, they went on to win the Premier League. West Ham lost both of their Premier League games at the London Stadium this season. They have never lost their first 3 home games in a league season in over 120 years of mediocre history. Let's start with Chelsea. We should say we're recording the show before their game against Pauk, which is on Thursday. So we're assuming everything went well. Everyone came through it. We don't think Hazard there for this game and a few other senior players as well. So we're expecting a full 11 this weekend. Michael Dewberry, let's come to you first on this. Chelsea, top of the table. Tremendous start. I think many of us, when we saw the Community Shield, were quite worried about what Maurizio Sarri was putting together, how some of these players were performing, how they'd cope with it. But they're coming through games where there's adversity. They were pushed by Bournemouth. They were down against Cardiff and they came through to win. How are they doing it? What's changed?
I watched the Community Shield and I was a bit worried. Looked a bit flaky at the back and you don't know what could happen. But as we're sitting there, top of the league. Say it again, top of the league.
You're saying it a lot this week because next week you can't.
Listen, I'm just enjoying it, and we're building and we're winning, so you can't do better than that. You know, if we were sitting mid-table and we're like, oh, what's going on? But we're building and we're winning, and it's all good, and enjoy it while it lasts.
So how good have Chelsea been, Kev? Because I think we, as we were discussing there, had a lot of doubts about certainly the midfield makeup, who's going to play up front defensively, David Luiz in that central defensive position. It's all just gone quite well. None of the question marks have resulted in a negative answer.
No, they haven't. As Dube said, he's obviously big Chelsea. He's enjoying what they're doing. They're easy on the eye at the minute. Obviously, in Hazard, they've got a man who's in terrific form. He did go off the ball for a while, but he's most certainly back on it now. And talk of him being the best in Europe, and you got someone like that in your team, he's going to carry you an awful long way. And I think also the fact that now Giroud has become more of a mainstay, if you like, as opposed to a bit part, and they seem to have a very, very good working relationship, the pair of them. And Hazard's come out and actually said that, and maybe Sarri's thought, you know what? Yeah, I think that could work. And Morata's very much in the background at the minute. But Giroud, focal point of the team, and Hazard playing off of him, they're dangerous. They're very dangerous at the moment.
Last week we spoke about Chelsea, and I asked the question, why isn't anyone considering them to be a genuine title contender? Now, a win against Cardiff doesn't necessarily change that point of view, but we've seen with Hazard a hat-trick last week. He decided to take himself out of the game against PAOK Salonika because he's tired. If he does have the sort of season that he has had in the past, and with the other players that they've got there, it seems like Chelsea could be that team again that could go close.
I feel as if it's because I said last week Hazard wasn't a world-class player. That's why he was so good last week against Cardiff. But I think he's still got to score 40 goals to be in that bracket. And a hat-trick against Cardiff, as you say, Cardiff City are going to get relegated this year with 20, 25 points. They are a championship team at best. I know I get a lot of abuse from Cardiff fans for saying it every week, but that's the facts of it. Are we going too far because they've thrashed Cardiff?
No, I don't think no one's going over the top with the praises.
You said top of the league six times at the top of the programme. That seemed quite far.
Because you have to enjoy it. it's such a competitive league. You put Hazard scored a hat-trick. Let's embrace it and let's enjoy it. No one's putting them for the Ballon d'Or right now, but saying he's a good player. Giroud up top gives it that focal point. Morata can't play that role. So at the moment, we're doing what we're supposed to do. And from the back of last year when Chelsea looked in pieces, disarray, in-house argument looked like, we're enjoying where they are now.
Well, what about the argument then that the only real time they were tested this year was the Arsenal game? And if Arsenal knew how to shoot from 8 yards, they'd have won that 7-3.
Yeah, and granted, it's Arsenal didn't take their chances, and we would be saying something different. I've not said the defensive frailties have gone. It's there. When they come against someone that can shoot, it might well be tested. We might not be saying that, but it's not something I'm brushing under the carpet with the sitting on top of the league. Do you know what I mean? So it's
top
just
of the league, dudes.
I really enjoyed that wink. That's really going to come out well on this podcast.
None of the frailties are gone, but we've beaten what's in front of us, and a convincing win against Cardiff, even though if they are going down, we have to do that. And it just sends a message out saying, you know what, we're there and thereabouts.
I think that you're right in what you're saying. The real test they've had so far is Arsenal. That game could have finished any sort of score. It was almost like an FA Cup tie, wasn't it, for the start of the season. An Arsenal team very much in transition, new manager, didn't know his best 11. How good are they going to be? That still remains to be seen, Arsenal. So have Chelsea really been tested yet? Possibly not. But you can only beat what's in front of you.
Yeah.
I think the acid test will be when they play one of the so-called
Is this
big
maybe
guns.
Not an acid test, though? Because in Marko Arnautovic, you've got one of the form strikers, certainly in English football, over the last calendar year. A potential injury doubt for this weekend, but apparently the staff say he just needs to rest his knee and he should be OK. And Dave, we saw last week, didn't we, West Ham? And I didn't watch the game. I did exactly what I said I was going to do. At 3:59 p.m. local time, I got the dog, I put the lead on him, I went for a two-hour walk, came back home, saw the wife in the kitchen and said, did we win? She said yes, and I watched it. And I can't do it this weekend because I'm going. It's very frustrating because now I've got a winning formula. But up front, Dave, that front three, I mean, they absolutely marmalised Everton last week, and they can do that through a defence that's got David Luiz in it, can't they?
They did look very good, and I think Everton an understrength Everton, some of the injuries they had and not very good defensively anyway, even if they do have their best players out, help them. But they needed that win, and it's going to be very interesting to see how they play this weekend. Off the back of a confidence-boosting win, it's a big game against Chelsea, it's a big test for them, but we have seen in previous years, in some of these big games, West Ham do sort of raise the level, and if the fans can get behind them, it is a challenge. It's certainly a bigger challenge for Chelsea than the game against Cardiff would have been last week.
I agree. It's a London derby, and all form goes out the window. Hunger, the old school, who wants it more? All that sort of stuff throws in there. And, you know, West Ham have got quite a good record against Chelsea of late.
Beat them last year. David Moyes' first win, I think.
Yeah, you know, so it's a game that could be potentially a banana skin. But if it goes into scoring, you know, you put Chelsea to outscore West Ham.
What concerns me, Tom, at the minute is, do you think West Ham are going to be better away from home this year because of the expectancy?
Well, they're always away from home.
Yeah, but the expectancy on them and what's happened at the London Stadium of late and at the end of last year, have they carried that over? So regardless of this great result at Everton, will it be a hindrance for them playing at home? Do the crowd get on them or...?
The personalities, you know, West Ham in that dressing room, the personalities there will say, F them, let's go, let's come together, and then say, whatever happens out there, doesn't matter, let's get together. So you don't want to play in front of no fans.
But you hear about teams and they say they're really good on the road. And that's possibly because they're counter-attacking teams or they like to suck teams onto and they've got pace up front. When the onus is on you at home to have more of the ball, more possession and create chances like that, then if you're not that sort of team, then you're not going to be successful.
Yeah.
And as you say, the three that West Ham have got, are they suited to playing away from home?
So for this game, do West Ham set up like the away team, Chelsea play like the home team? Is that what you expect? Because that's not
Chelsea
how Pellegrini wants
Chelsea
it.
Chelsea will try and dominate possession. They've been one of the most dominant sides in possession this season. That's what they're going to do, whether West Ham like it or not.
Yeah. I think it's just West Ham have to set up and play how they play. I don't think, you know, they're in that sort of form or them players that can swap in their mindset. They have to play a certain way. And obviously they're getting used to, they're in transition with their manager and getting used to. So they have to just play a certain way. Can they go their mindset with playing this way away from home? I think they just have to play how they play. They're going to use the win that they had to the basis of foundation. Let's get back to that. Let's find that sort of form, that mindset, and then go from there.
In the next section, we're going to talk about Tottenham. You mentioned Eric Dier. I wonder whether he plays this weekend, whether Spurs make wholesale changes after what was a rough old defeat against Inter in midweek. That's next.
The referee checks his watch again and then blows the full-time whistle. It's a comeback they'll be talking about until the cows come home. Spurs lose three in a row for the first time under Maurizio Pochettino.
Right, let's move on to Brighton Hove Albion against Tottenham. It's 5:30 UK time this Saturday. Former Spurs man Kev Watson with us today. What on earth happened in midweek against Inter Milan? What about Pochettino's Mourinho moment after the game? And where on earth do they go from here? It's back-to-back-to-back defeats.
Yeah, it is. And I think it's the manner of those defeats. The Watford one, seemingly comfortable, two set pieces. And if you're setting up as one of the so-called bigger sides, you know that the so-called lesser teams will work very hard on set pieces because that's their route of scoring goals against you. So you've got to learn how to defend against them. Didn't happen. He was obviously very disappointed with the way they conceded and lost that game. Liverpool, a good team. So is there any great shame or disappointment in losing? Disappointment, yes.
I mean, they played poorly. They kept giving the ball away so sloppily, un-Tottenham
they
in
did.
The game.
And Vorm has never had a consistent run of games. At Swansea, he was a very good keeper.
Yeah.
But he's not had a consistent run of games, possibly at fault for both goals. And then Inter Milan, you go 1-0 up, played very well second half. And then, again, lose the game to a set piece. And it concerns me now that you've never ever seen Pochettino that angered, distressed, agitated in any interview. And the last two or three, he's sort of coming for the press. He's come out with a whole cow analogy that I don't think anyone knows what the
some
hell
would
he's...
say it was utterly ridiculous. Yeah. Huh? Come on.
So he's agitated. While they started well, no one was concerned that they hadn't signed any players. But as we spoke about outside, the others have, and they've progressed. And Tottenham, as good as they've been in the last couple of seasons, they've not challenged. with the players they've got. So what makes them think that they will without signing anyone this year?
It's a strange one, and I think that the whole outburst was just pent up frustration that you can't, you know, go to the ones above and saying this is what you've left me, because you know you want to be able to change things around, you know, put some fire under the players he's got that were complacent because they know they're playing, you know, he can't change, he's got no room to manoeuvre, and that might be the bit of frustration. Obviously he's not going to be saying too much when he's winning and doing well, but I just think that for someone at that level, a club at that level, to think that they don't sign anyone and will still move forward and challenge and go that step further, it was ridiculous.
Dudes, as a defender, I want to ask you about the changes that we've seen in Tottenham's backline consistently over the last few weeks, and of course the goalkeeper as well. Yeah. We're never sure whether Trippier or Aurier is going to play. He left Trippier and Alderweireld at home for the Champions League game. He's played three at the back with wing-backs. And of course, added to that, you've got Vorm, who possibly isn't a very commanding presence in the box. How difficult is that as a defender when you don't really know who's going to be playing and what system each week?
I think not only as a defender, as a player, like, I understand that the modern day, you know, people coming in and out, but one thing you want is consistency. You want to, as a central defender, if I'm playing at the four, I want to know that relationship with my right back. You know, when we're going to speak and we know his game, his cover, you build up something. My centre-half partner, I know his little bits when he's going, little signs when he's going to jump, to cover him. We're getting that camaraderie, high-fiving each other as a back four. The goalkeeper, he's talking, understand it. When he's coming, keepers, I know when to... All the little bits that you build a relationship with. And if every week, like, you're chopping, changing, and also you're in and out and you can't get that rhythm and that consistency, being a defender, it's about consistency. Like, all along the pitch, but as a defender, consistency, looking left and looking right and knowing who's there and building that, because it's about covering for each other, building that trust more so than anywhere on the part, because one mistake from us, it's a goal. So you need that. You want that goalkeeper who's going to be commanding and making you feel safe.
And he isn't, is he?
No.
That's why they're conceding set piece goals of six. I think they're conceding.
It breeds through the... You've got a goalkeeper that's nervy and jittery. It breeds right through the team. Your defence be a bit jittery. Your midfielders don't know what's going to be covering behind. It just goes right through the whole team. And, you know, you just need a bit of consistency. And that's the one... Because as a defender, you run, but you don't run as much as everyone around the park. You know, it's more sprint, walk, 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 sprint, walk, walk, walk. I was a bit more walk, 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 walk. and so you're like, your legs...
Fast walk.
Your legs, you know, unless you're playing against 10 men, your legs just save. You can do that. You can do four against eight all day, like just moving, shuffling around. So you can afford to have them. They're the mainstays. You can flit around with the positions up front. So I don't know why he's changing it around, especially 4-3-3. It's just...
I don't know how you'd sit with this, Dubes, but I don't know why he's messing with it. Because their best formation that suits their players is 3-5-2. You've got three centre-halves, Sanchez, Davison Sanchez,
Vertonghen
and Alderweireld. Yeah. The full-backs, you can argue, are better wing-backs. Mm. So Trippier is a wing-back for me and does it very well. And Ben Davis or Danny Rose are wing-backs. If you play that way... And if you're saying Harry Kane looks jaded and tired, even if you play him, in playing that formation, you get someone else up top with him because you can play two strikers. Midfielders, got three good midfielders. They've got a selection of midfielders.
Well, that's a good point, actually, because that midfield makeup is going to be really interesting this weekend, because Eric Dier is looking totally out of form, not looking like the player we've seen for a long time in that midfield. There's even questions about whether he should go back in defence. The midfield form has been so poor. Winks is back, but how really good is Harry Winks? I have no idea if he's actually any good. Maybe you can tell me, because I've never seen anything great in him.
I think he is.
Then you've got your Eriksen, Ali's injured. I mean, Dembele, then... It's just a lot of players that all seem to be off form simultaneously that currently can't play together.
Mm.
I just think you get that set. You get that set, and everyone knows where they are, and you can rest your energetic, your forward players. You can bring them out and get the rest. And if you haven't got a big squad, they can then come in and out and rest. And your back four, and your back five, wherever you play it, get set. And they won't be that jaded. You can now and again swap a few. There's a few to swap, but it's a consistent look.
Let's move to Brighton, who they face this weekend. I was doing the game Monday, Brighton-Southampton. Another game, second game this season. They've been 2-0 down in Fulham as well, and they got something from it. I thought they were terrible until that second goal went in, and then suddenly thought, we're going to lose this. And they were utterly inspired by Anthony Kanoka, who I think is due a move up the ladder. I really do. I think he's a fantastic player. The delivery for the Duffy goal was incredible. And Glenn Murray, once again, 35 years of age this month, later this month. Fantastic goal, fantastic form. Great penalty under pressure to get something from it. But it feels to me a bit like Tottenham, in a way, that they're playing with last season's team, but for a different reason, because everyone they bought in the summer is useless. Mm-hmm. Every single one of them. That Yves Bissouma, nowhere near ready. They need Pascal Gross back this week. I think he's injured and may well not play. But they bought 11 or 12 players kind of randomly. It's almost like they've gone in a tombola and gone, Johan Bakhsh, shall we get him in? No one's ever heard of him. He doesn't do anything. What do they do, Brighton? Because the last season squad got to do it again.
Well, with Brighton, I think the expectancy level is quite low. So even I was listening to their crowd at Southampton, even at 2-0 down, they're still singing their hearts out. Mm. So that's a team that can play without fear. Yeah. And this is the whole situation I was talking about, West Ham or whatever. So 1-0 down, they started the second half pretty well and had Southampton on the rack. All of a sudden, penalty from nowhere, 2-0 down, and you're thinking, they could go under. And they just got better.
Mm. They're unbeaten in four against the big six teams, which are, you know, they do perform well when the big games come to the Amex. But it feels to me like we're very quick and eager to jump on the crisis bandwagon with a team like Spurs. We saw it with Man United a few weeks ago when they went out and they just beat Burnley. And I think this is a big, big game for Spurs. But if Brighton keep going behind, there's only so many times you can do that before a team will punish you. And this is a big game for Spurs. They need a reaction, but I think that this is a better team than Brighton have played in the last few weeks.
If Brighton do win this, next week's show must be called the Crisis Bandwagon. Has to be, because we'll start with Spurs at the top, because that's a great name for a podcast. Listen, let's go to the former Crisis Bandwagon next. That's Man United. They've got Wolves this weekend. That's our next topic.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. There's a lot more to those 90 minutes than what goes down on the pitch. With the latest odds, form guides and expert opinions, you'll know the score with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org. T's and C's apply.
It's into the box. It's Cavani. Oh! Saved by David De Gea, who saves Manchester United and prevents Watford from getting an equaliser.
When the Wolves fans sing of being back, this is what they mean. A comprehensive victory, much more comprehensive than the scoreline suggests.
Manchester United against Wolverhampton Wanderers, 3 o'clock this Saturday, UK time. United have lost two of their last five Premier League home games, as many as they had in their previous 43 at Old Trafford. Mourinho has never suffered back-to-back home league defeats in his managerial career. Dubs, with Man United, great win in midweek against those young boys, those devilish young boys. Wasn't Pogba very good? Fantastic first goal as well. However, Man United against Wolves, there's a chance here they might not see the ball.
I just want to say I'm so glad that Man United won in pink kit, because if they didn't, that'd have the pink kit would have to go.
Gotta go. It's nice, isn't it? I like it. It's a nice strip.
I'm glad they won. I'm just throwing that out.
Could
there.
You wear a dusky pink, Dubes?
I reckon I could have carried it
could
off.
Could pull it off?
I could have carried it off.
If we had any budget, I'd buy you one, but we don't.
Yeah, that's all right. I'm not expecting any freebies. Yeah, against Wolves, Man United. I don't know, you just don't know what to expect from the team, if I'm honest. Like, some players show up and they don't show up. They look like they're up for it. They're picking and choosing. I don't say they're picking and choosing, but it seems like they're going to turn up they look in disarray. Some minute they look harmonious and up for it. Other bits on the pitch look like they don't get on. So
they've won two battles in a row, though. Burnley and Watford away. They were not easy wins.
Yeah, listen, I'm not being ultra negative and putting Man United down. From me looking in at watching their games, you know, I've watched one game and they look like they're together, and you know, in other games you're looking like these don't look like they want to play. Like we talked about, again, playing for a manager. Sometimes they look like they don't want to play for the manager. Sometimes they look like they want to embrace and he's the best friend in the world. It's like it's very selective of when they show up, which isn't a good sign for anyone trying to contend for the Premier League and wanting to be a top player.
Mm. There used to be a time where I would switch on to watch every Manchester United game with the way they used to play and under Fergie and stuff. I don't rush to switch a telly on now when watch Mourinho's United. And as Dube said, sometimes they're up for it, sometimes they're not. Yes, they've won those two games. I think they're very much a team of individuals. They don't have a pattern of play that you can see. Mm. It just looks like off the cuff. I think Pogba just plays off the cuff, does what he wants for himself. And you're right, will they see the ball? It's going to be their typical Mourinho side. They just grind results out. They're not easy on the eye. And I think Wolves are a breath of fresh air for the Premier League with the way they play.
Yeah.
It won't be easy for them. No two ways about it.
Before we talk Wolves, Dave, last week we said on this programme that now Man United are in a bit of trouble, bit of bother, bit of concern. What they'll do now is build a team around Mara and Fellaini. Against Watford, I think we saw that last week, and how important he is to their Premier League team.
Yeah, I think he was the difference. And the game and against Burnley, you know, it's slightly different as well, but those two games, they did sort of suit Man United in the situation they're in. They were up for a fight. They can scrap if they want to, and if they're up for it, and a team like Watford, that was the kind of game they were going to do. They were going to try and stop Troy Deeney from bullying them and stop some of those big balls from coming into the box. But this is a different challenge, a very different game indeed. They're at home. As you said, Mourinho's never lost back-to-back home games in his whole career, so you'd expect Manchester United to win. But it will be very interesting to see how Wolves play. They made a load of chances against Burnley last week.
27, 28 chances?
They only scored one. Yeah. They're not going to get as many chances, you think, at Old Trafford, are they? And you know, they're going to take their chances.
But I had this theory, and I had this conversation with some friends, and Kev might back me up. Or the Man United players, they all believe they're top players. They can play, and they're playing for Mourinho, ask them to play a certain way. And they look down the road at their peers at Man City playing this lovely flowing football, everyone's getting their plaudits, you know, everyone's getting, oh my god, what a player, and then going to pick Pogba, thinks he's this top player, I should be able to show my skills, be free flowing, and then they look down the road at Man City and every player can play pop passing and they have to play this restrictive, and I think it shows in their body language game after game that they can't come out in the press and say the manager, the way they're playing is just horrible. But it shows in their body language, and it's the clearest sign that you can see that they're not happy that all their peers. Imagine going on, in national break, and you're talking with your mates, and then you're looking and thinking, "Ah, you lot playing this? It's horrible." And you do that happens. It happens, and you can tell the Man United players feel like that. Their body language shows time and time again.
Mm. I totally agree. You assemble a team of players of that ability and of that ilk, you would expect them to be more than just grinders, and I think that's what they are at the minute. And Burnley, Watford, yeah, you know what you're getting with Watford. They play up to Deeney, they get it forward, he's a handful, he's come up through the leagues, they stood up to the test, nicked a couple of goals. Burnley the same, and this will be different because they're at home, they'll be expected to come out and dominate the ball. I'm not sure they're going to be capable of dominating the ball against Wolves.
Really interested to see Neves and Moutinho in midfield against that three, whether they can, because they have every time since this year. Been fantastic. Listen, we've got to move on. Let's talk about Liverpool. Unbeaten in their last 23 Premier League games at Anfield. Fantastic victory against Paris Saint-Germain in midweek against Southampton, who once again dropped points from a winning position. 26 points from winning position since the start of last season. Will we see a Champions League hangover for Liverpool? It's quite a tight turnaround, 3 o'clock Saturday. They haven't got any additional time, really. I thought they might have got a Sunday game this week.
No, I think Liverpool are flying. They're full of confidence. And when you're full of confidence, you're never tired. You're never tired. You go out there, you're full of energy. You just want to play more and more football. And I think that Liverpool won't have any Champions League hangover. They've got a large enough squad with players that want to play and impress to secure their places. So I can see Liverpool you know, going on and winning convincingly.
This is the sort of game that in years gone by, in the last few seasons, and even beyond that, under other managers, we've seen Liverpool slip up.
Yeah.
Home games on a Saturday afternoon when you'd expect them to win and they'd be better in the big games, but not this season.
Mm.
They've sorted out the mistakes at the back. Gomez and Van Dijk look a really solid central defensive partnership. Alexander-Arnold and Robertson, the fullbacks, the keepers all sorted. That is a competitor. Tottenham, that is a solid unit that's not going
to
change.
I struggled to find a flaw. I looked at Liverpool for, where is, you know, before you go, they concede, they get sloppy, the goalkeeper, but where is the flaw in Liverpool at the moment? You struggle to pinpoint one. Salah's poor form, and that's saying something, isn't it? That's it.
We have a lot of African listeners to this podcast, and I've got a little quiz for everybody. So Sadio Mane has scored 48 Premier League goals. If he scores two more, he becomes the seventh African player to score 50 goals in the Premier League. How many can we name?
Drogba,
yes.
Kanu.
Kanu, yes. Very good. I'm surprised at how good this has been so far.
Yakubu
is in, yes. Wow.
Kalu?
Yeboah.
Yeboah is a no. Oh. Great goals, but not 50. What did you say? Kalu? Kalu's not there. Couple of big obvious ones.
Kanu? Did you say Kanu?
We had Kanu. Kanu's already in.
Adebayor.
Adebayor, yes. His brother and him, two of them, great chant.
Kola, Yaya Toure.
Yes,
Toure,
yeah. Yes. Toure. There's one more we haven't got, but we haven't got time to keep going all day, but I was very impressed by the group there. Efanikoku, the other one. Yeah?
Yeah,
very good.
Chief.
Old school.
So if you're listening to this podcast and you're about to meet some friends and they're not listening, A, tell them to subscribe, and B, try it out. Yeah, see if they're as good as our panel.
Educational as well, this show.
Briefly to Southampton, no Danny Ings, ineligible this weekend. That's a problem.
Yeah.
That is a problem, because Charlie Austin is struggling again. Yeah. I think he's hamstring at the moment. Manolo Gabbiadini looks utterly spent as a footballer. I don't know what's happened to him. Get out of Southampton. The water does not suit you. But without him, they ain't going to score any goals.
No, I totally agree. He's gone in, and his appetite for the game, obviously he'd not played a lot of games at Liverpool. He's gone in fresh, and he's been excellent. And as you say, Charlie Austin, not fully fit. Hungerford boy, actually. So we could take him on loan, give him a few games. He does come to our games.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Do you speak to him when he's there?
Well, the manager knows him.
Do you take the crutch off him?
Yeah, I'm not sure we'd get in our team at the minute. So it's a problem for Southampton. I don't think that they've not got goals from other areas, if you like.
Yeah. Right, got to move on. Next section of the show, we've got loads of games to get through. We're going to start with Arsenal, who are up against Everton on Sunday.
Xhaka down the left-hand side, pulls it back across goal. Lacazette with a chance, tees it up, comes up, Ozil passes it into the back of the net. A hand on it from Dubravka, but it hits the back of the net and Arsenal have their second of the game.
Right, let's move on to Arsenal up against Everton on Sunday. They, of course, in Europa League action on Thursday. We're recording the show before they've played, so as ever, we'll assume everyone has come out unscathed. Arsenal have scored more Premier League goals against Everton than any side has managed against any other in the competition's history, 105. Before we start with Arsenal, though, I want to start with Everton, actually. Because they looked absolutely shambolic at times against West Ham last week. Lots of problems with players being out. Of course, Morgan Schneiderlin's game, head wasn't in the game, and we can understand that. But there's a lot of players out with injury. There was suspension last week for Richarlison. What's going on with Everton? Why were they so poor last week? Is it just players being out, or is there more than that?
Poor performance or poor performance.
I mean, Zouma and Holgate is a poor central defensive pairing. Digne, I think, looked good going forward, but terrible defensively.
I think there's question marks over Marco Silva's ability to organise a solid defensive unit. If you look at his teams at Watford and at Hull, and I don't know if he stands up if you look at his record in Portugal and Greece, but they score a lot of goals and they're quite an attractive team, and they're all action, but there's not a lot of clean sheets. Mm. And it seems to have been the same so far at Everton. I know they've had injuries, they've not got all their first choice defenders available, but it is concerning.
Yeah, maybe it's just something he neglects, you know, like that whole old Newcastle try and outscore teams. Mm. And it's just saying, well, if we outscore and we win games,
you can't do that with Umar Niasse and Cenk Tosun, though, can you? I mean, all the quality they've brought in, who are these two?
But maybe some people, you know, when you see people assemble a team, they always start from the front.
Like, yeah, bring strikers in, bring wingers in.
You never build a house starting with a roof, do you? Like, you start with the foundations and you start at the back, and every team that's contended or won the Premier League has had that formidable back four and goalkeeper. And it's like, why people want to go against that grain. If you're going into, you know, I'm not in management, careful back, but if you're going into a team, like, I want to know that my back four and, you know, my defence are solid. Now everyone else can just stop worrying and we can go and score and play and we can implement our style of play. But you're just like scoring goals and then conceding. It becomes like going to a basketball league. Do you know what I mean?
You got problems if you need to score 3 and 4 to win football matches. Yeah. It's not, and Holgate for me is a fullback. He's not a centre half. Zouma's never really tore up any trees, has he? Mm. And they've been thrown together. And with Richarlison out, then a big goal threat or creator goes for you as well.
Mm. What about Arsenal this weekend then? Because 3 straight wins, all fairly tough wins as well. They were outplayed at times against West Ham. They had to fight against Cardiff and Newcastle last week as well. It was a close run thing. Are they getting things right? Is Unai Emery getting things right?
They're not like making massive waves. They're just going along with things and they're getting their wings in transition and they're doing it. But where Arsenal want to be, They're not there.
Still miles off.
Yeah, they're not there. They're not there. It's great getting the W's and they're getting on with things, but they're nowhere there. And they need to find themselves and find identity and then do it quick. Because in the meanwhile, they're stalling, people are building, and it becomes harder and harder and harder.
They're like a bit of a superior version of Everton, really, aren't they? At the back, he doesn't look too good. You know, we had the problems with Peter Cech and playing out from the back.
But again, last week, when are we going to see him score an own goal? It's going to happen. I can't wait. I'm so excited.
Going forward, they look good. Yeah. They've got options and all the players going forward look like they're in good form.
I think they're still short. I think they're still short. And I know it's early, but I think they're going to have a real struggle to make the top four again this year. There's something lacking there. Yeah. I mean, they played Cardiff, didn't they? And I thought Cardiff were unfortunate not to get anything out of the game.
Let's move on. Cardiff against Man City is 3 o'clock this Saturday, UK time. For Cardiff City, a tough old outing for them. I like these little passing stats sometimes. Here's one for you. City have the highest pass accuracy in the Premier League with 89.8%. Cardiff, the lowest with 63.6%. They've also the opposite ends of the scale for the amount of passes attempted. City, 2,111. I don't know who counts these. Don't come to me with this. For Cardiff, it's the lowest with 1,351.
You've actually got that wrong. City have attempted 2,011 more passes than Cardiff.
Okay, that's the differential.
Season.
So it's 3,462 to 1,351, a 2,000-plus differential. That's mad, isn't it? That's a mad thing. Do these two teams belong in the same division? And City have got to bounce back from that performance in midweek. I mean, they were shambolic, weren't they, against Lyon?
Yeah, they're... Talk about
got a Chelsea man and a Tottenham man both smiling at that performance.
You talk about Champions League backlash. I think Cardiff will feel a Champions League backlash.
Yeah.
I think they will.
Drinking Neil Warnock was come on City, come on.
Yeah, I think that. I think it's going to be. We're going to see an angry, rejuvenated point to prove City.
Do we see Aguero, who was injured last week on the bench in midweek? Yeah, I'm asking for a friend who's got him in his team.
I think that we'll see all powerful looking to prove a point. Let's get things back on the road, and I think Cardiff will suffer.
I just had a little chuckle to myself there. I just imagine Neil Warnock last night watching that game, going, "Oh no! Please equalise! Please win!"
But they done all right at Chelsea last week, didn't they, Cardiff? They battled. They got the higher ball in the box, which Chelsea struggled with. City will struggle
with a Neil Warnock team. You know what you're getting. They're going to be out to disrupt.
Yeah.
They won't create an awful lot.
Will he be in his shorts this week? That's the question.
They'll play for set pieces. He'll be winding up the officials. He'll be winding up Pep if he can. But Dubes is right. I cannot see any other result than Man City going there and putting on a show. Because let's get it right. They very rarely get beat these days. Mm. And when they do, there is a backlash.
Yeah. Let's move on to the Slavica Jokanovic derby. Fulham against Watford. Jokanovic was in charge of Watford for 36 games between October 2014 and May 2015. Never faced the Hornets as an opposition manager. Will you shed a tear this weekend, Dave? It's a shame it never worked out for him at Watford. It should have done.
If I was there, I'd be giving him a hearty round of applause, because the fans have never had the chance to do that, actually, since the promotion. And a lot of Watford fans would have liked to have seen him stay when they got promoted, but that's all history. This is a very interesting game. You got a bit of a clash of styles between these teams. Fulham play nice football. They've had some good performances so far from coming up. Watford are still going to be confident, even though they lost last week. There was a feeling that it wasn't too bad. It was we nearly got something out of that game against one of the big teams. So it's a tricky one to call, this one. Mm. Both teams will be looking at it thinking we could win, I think.
You're right. It's going to be a contrast of styles. Fulham, very much like Wolves, play very attractive football. Are they as good as Wolves? I think not, but they won't go away from what they do. I think Watford may just overpower them.
Yeah.
Decent game, though. Absolutely. The early game of the weekend, 12:30 UK time on Saturday. Crystal Palace Newcastle is 3 o'clock Saturday UK time. The boy who cried wolf. Sorry, I mean Wilfried Zaha has scored 75% of Crystal Palace's Premier League goals this season. Three quarters, obviously. Since the start of the 16-17 season, fouls on Wilfried Zaha have drawn a total of 41 cards, more than any other player. How does he get protected this weekend? Because Crystal Palace wrote to the Football Association, the Premier League, and said, what are you going to do to look after Wilfried Zaha? That's the midfielder's job, right, to look after Zaha. And also, for every time he is fouled, he doesn't dive so much, Zaha. I find that he just stops playing and turns around and calls for a free kick maybe 8 to 10 times a game. So in my mind, I've got him as a diver because I've seen him do bits and bobs. Leicester, I'm thinking of. Watford, I'm thinking of when he has dived. But it's just more of a case for me when I watch him, I think there's no reason for you to stop playing.
And me? Oh, okay, I'll take it.
Would you have kicked him? Would you have booted him? Could you have caught him?
I would have caught him. But like
before he
like,
had a chance to run.
Well, your power walk.
But like if you're gonna if from a player, if you know someone's whinging and whining, yeah, let's get on him. Let's get on him. Like you don't want to make it too obvious, get on him. For him now, like obviously he's drawn some attention to it, so it can have one way, like the ref can be like, well, I'm in charge here. When you start stopping, like, wait, I'll make the decisions, play on. So you're not going to help yourself there. The referee might think, oh, I've got to protect because all eyes are on me and the foul. But you just got to play. And it's a physical game. It's a physical league. You know that. If it's the whole chopping, like kicking and slicing, it's obvious and a foul will be called. But other than that, Hazard, all them, you're a flair player. That's what happens to you. It happens in the playground at school. And everyone knows that. So if you're a flair player and do round-the-world tricks, people, there's a clumsy kid, there's all them kids want to kick you. It's part and parcel of football. So you have to get on with it. Would I try to kick him as fairly as I could? I would have tried to smash him and kick him and get tight. That's part of the game. And his part of his game is to get round me. Mine is to stop him.
Briefly, Newcastle. They've had a lot of games in a row where they've had to defend. This is the first time since the Cardiff game, I think, they would be expected to try and get something from the game. Palace have struggled at home. How tough is it to get out of that mindset from 4 weeks? So it'll be defensive drills all day, probably every day, training every day, to now like, right, lads, we've got to get on the front foot here. Is that tough for Newcastle?
I think it is tough, yeah, because it's difficult. You think, oh, yeah, we've had all these tough games. This is one we can win. But if you go into it with that mindset, you're just putting more pressure on yourself. Yeah. I think you should go into most games and have a go. Because if you go in to play Manchester City, your Liverpool's or whatever, you might as well have a go because the likelihood is you're going to get beat anyway. So don't sit back and just wait to be beaten. Have a go because you're thinking, all right, well, we're not getting nothing out of this game. We're not getting anything out of this game or this game. But Palace, I'll tell you what, we'll have a right go. And you just put pressure on yourself to win that.
I think that when like you set yourself up, you know, you're playing a Man City, you have a game plan. So you're still having a go at your game plan because it's the game plan, the best way of getting something out of the game. You never go out and say, we're going to get beats, we're going to play. You have the best way of getting something out of the game, so you do that game plan, apply that game plan. So when you come to a Palace, you're thinking, these are games we can win. You're still going for it and applying your game plan, but it's more chance you think we've got to get something out of it. And like Newcastle look at the teams around them, and this is one of the teams that they say, these are the 3 points we have to get. City, Chelsea, we're not expected to, but this is a game we have to get something out of it.
Two more games we haven't mentioned on the programme as yet. Got to get to Huddersfield Town. I was watching them on the monitors here in the studio last week, and it reminded me of, you know, people bringing their fingernails down a chalkboard or waiting outside a doctor's office or being in the dentist. Watching Huddersfield try to score is so, so painful. They had 15 shots, only two hit the target. Every time they got in the box, people are falling over. It was like watching Laurel and Hardy. It was unbelievable. There was one great shot by Aaron Moy, absolutely. But apart from that, it was real tough. And there's always stats about this every week. And I'm going to keep throwing them out because I'm telling you, Wagner was undersold by his board this summer. They did not back him up with the strikers they needed. They failed to score in 55.8% of their total Premier League games. They haven't scored in 24 of 43 games. That is appalling. That is absolutely appalling. And they might go down this year because they haven't got anyone to score a goal.
Yeah, I mean, when you hear sound like that, and I just think to myself, if we're failing to score and find it so hard to score from open play, we have to be set piece specialists. We have to be so well versed in set pieces and be so creative that our goals come from there. And then teams will get a bit flustered because they don't want to give corners away, and that it might make something else happen. But they have to find some way. Obviously, open play, you know, it's difficult to score, you know, but you know, you'd think you'd be like set piece specialists just to try and get an avenue of trying, and then signing big, strong, you know, the Tony Pulis route where you used to get big players and we'd go set pieces and just disrupt the whole game. But yes, yeah, it's strange.
They're just no good at anything, which is they're just not good at any individual thing. The way they lost that game to Palace last week was pitiful relegation fodder. And it's going to be tough against Leicester this weekend because they're off the back of a couple of losses. They need to get on the front foot. They're generally quite good at getting on the front foot as well. And it was a tough loss to take against Bournemouth last week. I want to move on to Burnley against Bournemouth. Burnley, bottom of the table, 1 point from their 5 games so far. 4 straight defeats, beaten and embarrassed by Wolverhampton Wanderers last week.
This is a massive game for Burnley.
Huge game, really, isn't it? Absolutely huge game.
You've got Sean Dyche actually coming out after that game and kind of having a go at his players and saying, well, and himself really, saying that the whole club, there is a fog over us at the moment and we need to get ourselves out of it somehow. And that's not, you know, it's not the sort of fighting talk that we're used to from Sean Dyche. And I don't know if either of you have been in this situation, but when does sort of a slow start become a bigger problem psychologically for those players?
I've been in, you know, Leeds and Reading, where, you know, especially like Reading, where we, you know, had the great first season and then the next season. And you kind of like, you know, the one thing I said, Reading, we got away from the whole ethos of team that made us so good is individuals. So then you struggle. Like, we'll get the next one. That win didn't come. We get the next one. Next minute, you're like, oh, we're here. And then there's a gulf between us. Now we're in this mini league of relegation and it becomes so hard to get out. Form's bad. You can't just turn it on. We're not that good as a team. So I look at Burnley and thinking, they're already there. Like, they're already there. The losses are there. They're piling up. They're not that good to go, we'll get ourselves out of it. So they're in that. And how they get out, I think their manager's a great manager. Mm. I think if someone can get him out, you know, with his cigar voice, oh, you get him out of here. But like, get him out of that.
You should do the rest of the show as Sean Dyche.
I'm not going to do that.
We should all do it from now on.
Yeah. But he'll get him out. So yeah, they're in there. They're in that. They're in there.
In any other previous season,
do you Sean Dyche? Don't do it.
I watch some Sean Dyche. I do some Sean. So in any other.
That's Tommy Cooper. What are you doing?
Any other season, I would say that we were down for 3 points.
It's not bad.
I think that. Yeah, any other season, you'd look at this as a home win on paper. Yeah. But all of a sudden, like Dubes is saying, Bournemouth come into town, started very well. Yeah. You're going, could this be another one?
Yeah.
So a huge game. You wouldn't say it's one of the most glamorous games of the weekend, but tell you what, there could be. Is Sean Dyche bulletproof as a manager? I don't know. You know, he stayed there when he could have possibly gone, when they was having a great time. He stuck it out because he loves the club. But when does enough become enough?
These are the two longest-serving managers in the league.
Yeah, how long is it they've both been there? Is it 5 years?
Well, they've both been there before. They got promoted with both these managers in charge. And they both, at various times, have been touted for moves to bigger clubs. But then also, that question has been asked as well. I don't think any manager's bulletproof, but these two are probably the closest you're going to get, I'd say.
Briefly on Bournemouth, I thought it was a fantastic watch last week. Bournemouth against Leicester. What a great game it was. 4-2 victory. And I'll tell you what, every year we talk about Bournemouth and if they might struggle. I'll tell you why they're not struggling. I think Eddie Howe is very, very clever. And he's gone, we can't beat them for quality, so we've got to find something we can beat people with. And even work ethic doesn't always cut it.
No.
You look at that team, I'm thinking about Rico, Smith, Lerma even, Brooks, obviously Fraser, Wilson and King. What they got? Pace, pace, pace. And any team that steps up on them a little bit, like Leicester did, Ryan Fraser destroyed them. Absolutely destroyed them. I didn't know little legs could move that fast. Incredible. And they've just had that little idea. And I think that could really be the undoing of Burnley this weekend. I look at them, I don't see that at all.
No, as a defender, you hate defending pace. Like, you know, and to play high. We did that once, was at Leeds. We played higher. We got the game playing higher at Highbury.
Mm.
And Thierry ended up scoring 4. And I just look at the highlights and Sky Gold, and I'm chasing, like, I'm thinking, oh, that's Daddy running there. Is it, Dad? You can catch Usain Bolt. But, like, to, like, pace is a killer. Like, anyone who's got pace is a killer, whatever level. And if you've got that in a team, it makes, you know, teams play differently. Teams drop gives your ball players more space to play. So, yeah, it's a joy when you see have pace in your team.
And Fraser's very quick, isn't he?
Yeah.
Full of energy. The team's full of energy.
Great to see you, Kev. Thank you, Dubes. Dave, as ever, another show next week. Looking ahead to maybe a third West Ham win in a row. That'd be great, wouldn't it? Listen, if you are listening to this programme on a radio station, you can download an extended podcast. Search for TalkSport Premier League Preview Show on Acast, iTunes, or any other good podcast provider. We'll see you next week. Thanks a lot.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. The latest odds? We set them. Form guides? We've got them. Expert opinions? We share them. The best fans in the world deserve the best. Be match day ready before the whistle blows with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. Be gambleaware.org. T's and C's apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.